Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and now we continue our fall election series, 30 Issues in 30 Days. Today, Senator Bernie Sanders on his Medicare for All proposal. Now, to be clear, only some Democratic congressional candidates are running on that. Check your local races. The Senate bill has 15 sponsors, last I saw, and about 120 House members, or about half the number it needs for passage in the House, support the House version. Senator Sanders, thank you so much for the time. Welcome back to WNYC.
Good to be with you, Brian.
Most Americans today, about 55% is the stat I read, get their health insurance through work. So you'd be asking a majority of Americans to give up the health insurance they now have and take a chance on a government payer system. Talk first to people who do have private insurance today and try to convince them that they'll be better off.
Well, the first point that I would make when we talk about percentages, Brian, is the last poll that I saw had about 70% of the American people wanting this country to move toward a Medicare for All single-payer program. And the reason for that is whether you have private insurance today or whether you don't, you know that the cost of health care is soaring. If you are getting your insurance today from your employer, you might lose that insurance tomorrow if your job goes to China or your company shuts down or you want to leave. And when we talk about employees, one of the interesting points to make is there are millions of people in this country today, unbelievably, in my view, who are at their jobs right now, not because they enjoy their jobs, but because their employer is providing decent quality health insurance. So my view is that we should do what the American people want. We should do what every other major country on earth does, and that is guarantee health care as a right, not a privilege, to every man, woman, and child.
So
And the reason, among other things that we should do it, is not just that 30 million people today have no health insurance, and many of those folks that you talk about who are insured through the private sector, they're paying very high deductibles, and they're paying very high copayments, and they're paying very high prices for their prescription drugs.
So to that point, you're offering a deal in a way. We'll remove the burden of premiums and deductibles and copays in exchange for higher taxes to fund the new system. So what do you say to people who are nervous that they'll be taxed more than they spend on insurance and those differentials now?
Good. Fair question. And the answer is that right now, and it's important for us to know this, that despite the fact that so many of our people don't have any insurance or are underinsured, despite the fact that we pay the highest prices in the world for prescription drugs, we end up spending, Brian, twice as much per capita on health care as do the people of any other nation. I'm talking to you right now 40 miles away from the Canadian border. We spend about $10,000 per capita on health care. The Canadians spend about half of that. They manage to provide high-quality health care to every man, woman, and child in their country. Now, what my opponents on this issue, you know, Republicans, Trump, are doing, is this is what they're saying. They say, Bernie Sanders wants to raise your taxes. What they forget somehow to tell you is that Bernie Sanders wants to do away with all of the private health insurance premiums that you are paying, do away with the deductibles and the copayments you're paying. So to answer your question, I think the evidence is very clear that when we spend twice as much per capita as do the people of any other country, we can create a situation where the average person in this country, the average family, by the way, family of four today, paying $28,000 a year for health care, we will lower the total amount of money that that family is paying, that the individual is paying for health care under a Medicare for All system.
How would the tax itself work?
Well, that is, we laid out, you know, we're talking about a whole lot of money here. And we laid out a 10 options as we introduced the bill. I didn't want to get into a detailed exposition about how we're going to pay for it, because it's pretty complicated, and it's a lot of money. So I think it's something that the Congress and the American people are going to have to address. But we have 10 different options as to how we can raise the money. But again, when people say, can we afford a Medicare for All system, please understand that Medicare for All will end up saving us substantial sums of money, because the current system that we have is incredibly bureaucratic, incredibly wasteful. I think we can save hundreds of billions of dollars a year. Study after study suggests that, on doing away with incredible amounts of waste of bureaucracy in the current system, which has to do with billing, what has to do with exorbitant profits in the insurance industry, in the pharmaceutical industry, the incredible compensation packages that the CEOs of these companies are making. So this system is just very, very wasteful and bureaucratic, and that's why we, under a Medicare for All, will have a much more cost-effective and efficient system.
Senator Bernie Sanders with us, talking about his Medicare for All proposal in our 30 Issues in 30 Days fall election series. You talked about how Canada spends half as much as we do per capita on health care. So on ways your system would control costs, a conservative critique in the New York Post predicted Medicare for All would plunge local hospitals here in New York into financial distress because you would control costs by lowering reimbursements compared to what they get now from private insurers, meaning lower pay for healthcare workers and shortages of care as hospitals adjusted to less revenue. Why wouldn't that happen?
Well, the major savings would be in terms of bureaucracy and the billing and the excessive administrative costs that we now have. The idea that we would threaten hospitals is absurd, because right now, today, under this current system, if you look all over rural America, we're seeing a great deal of stress on hospitals today. And what a Medicare for All system would be about is to have rational expenditures and, in fact, pay attention to parts of the country which today, because they're not profitable, are underserved. So you have areas in rural America where it is very hard to find a doctor, to find a dentist, or, in fact, where you're having hospitals shutting down. A rational health care system will provide resources where it is needed.
But does that mean a cost shift away from a place like New York with a lot of expensive care and high-end
it may mean
hospital?
Let me give you an example of one of the problems right now. You go to medical school, and you're not from a wealthy family. You can leave school $300,000-$400,000 in debt. Where are you going to practice, Brian? Do you think you're going to go to an area where you're desperately needed, urban areas, low-income urban areas? You're going to go to rural areas where we need desperately need doctors and dentists? You're not. You're going to go to wealthy communities and practice in a specialty where you can make a whole lot of money. That is absurd. We should have a system which uses our resources to deal with the needs of the American people, not to have doctors, because of deep debts that they incur in medical school and college, end up where we don't particularly need them. Right now in America, unbelievably, we have a 20-year life expectancy gap between the wealthiest communities in this country and the poorest. And I think right now we should be focusing our attention not on the wealthiest communities in this America, in this country, but on where our medical practitioners are needed the most.
President Trump, as you know, took the rare step last week of writing a newspaper op-ed, and it was primarily on this issue. The headline was, Democrats' Medicare for All plan will demolish promises to seniors. And part of his point is that to give Medicare to everyone, the current system would be withdrawn and changed. So how would current seniors now on Medicare be affected?
They'd be better off. And by the way, we responded to Trump's op-ed in USA Today with an op-ed of our own.
Yes.
We counted conservatively 19 lies in his op-ed, which I guess is typical for this president, who lies all of the time. But in terms of how our program would impact seniors, it would improve care in the following way. Right now, Medicare is a very strong program. It's a very popular program, which is why I want to expand it over a period of 4 years to every man, woman, and child in this country. But it has its weaknesses. Right now, if you're on Medicare and you have a need for dental care or dentures, if you have a need for a hearing aid, if you have having problems with your eyes and you need a pair of glasses, for example, Medicare does not cover that. Under the Medicare for All bill that I introduced, we would cover all of those medical needs.
So let me follow up on that with respect to the cost, because Medicare for All is one of the reasons, I think it's fair to say, that the Democratic Party is not running on a set of national positions very much in this midterm. Too many different views on the issue. For example, Democratic Senator Claire McCaskill in Missouri is running heavily on health care, opposing the Republican push to allow pre-existing conditions not to be covered again. But on Medicare for All, she says it would be, quote, irresponsible of us to expand the program that is driving the debt the most in a way that is unsustainable financially for this country. What do you say to Claire McCaskill and other Democrats about the debt?
Well, I say to Claire that I hope very much that she wins, because I'd like to see Democrats regain control over the Senate. And she will run on the campaigns that she thinks, the issues that she thinks work in Missouri. But I think that when we talk about expenditures in Medicare, once again, we have got to address the fact that our system is far and away the most expensive and wasteful of any system on earth. And when we talk about expenditures and whether or not we can afford health care for all, I think you got two issues. Number one, you got a moral issue. Should the United States be the only major country on earth that allows people to die or to suffer because they don't have health care? Every other major country has said health care is a right. We have not. And second of all, nobody denies. I mean, it's basically insane, I think, to deny that when we spend twice as much per capita on health care, how can anybody say we cannot afford to do a Medicare for All system, which would be far more cost-effective than our current wasteful system? Now, for Claire or for anybody else, I understand what the problem is. They're up against incredibly vicious and dishonest 30-second ads, because you have an industry now, the healthcare industry. Drug companies is one example. Drug companies, Brian, have spent $4 billion over the last 20 years on lobbying and campaign contributions. Insurance companies have spent huge amounts of money. What we are really talking about here is not a health care issue. It's not about health care financing. This is a political issue, not different than climate change. Climate change is real. Fossil fuel industry is concerned about making money, and they don't care about what happens to the future of this planet. Sure. The right of all people to have health care is something that most Americans believe in. Problem is, we're up against very powerful forces in the insurance company, in Wall Street, in the drug companies, who will spend as much as they can to continue to make billions and billions of dollars in profit. You have one out of five Americans today, Brian, who cannot afford the prescription drugs their doctors prescribe. How insane is that? So they don't take the drugs, they end up in the emergency room, they end up in the hospital. Great suffering and great cost to the system. But good news is, five major drug companies made $50 billion in profit last year. Anybody think that that is sane? Mm-hmm. It is not.
But you are offering...
What we're engaged in is a political struggle against very powerful and wealthy forces, not really and primarily a healthcare debate.
But you are offering a plan that makes a lot of promises, like vision and dental and hearing, but without saying how you're going to pay for it, you're saying one of maybe 10 menu options of tax plans, and we'll figure that out later.
You got a huge issue here, and no, I'm not going to detail how every nickel can be raised to pay for it. I can tell you that Donald Trump and his friends just gave $1 trillion in tax breaks to the top 1%, that you have the three wealthiest people in this country own more wealth than the bottom half of the American people, that we are spending much, much more per capita on health care. If we start off with the premise that we're spending twice as much as any other country, I think the idea that we cannot afford to pay for a Medicare for All system is absurd. Of course we can. There is a good debate, and that's a fair debate. How are we going to pay for it? Reasonable debate. Let's argue it out. But health care should be a right. and we have more than enough money to pay for Medicare for All because we're spending so much right now.
Senator Bernie Sanders on his Medicare for All proposal in our 30 Issues in 30 Days fall election series. Last question. I'm just curious what you think about state single-payer systems. Here in New York, as you may know, there's a state single-payer system under consideration that Governor Cuomo opposes because he says there isn't enough of a pool to spread the risk around enough. So he would be for national single-payer, and your own state of Vermont tried single payer and had to undo it, I understand. Do you think New York, which almost has the votes now in the state legislature, could go it alone?
Well, I think, again, I think what we're looking at is a political issue. Obviously, with Trump and the insurance companies and the drug companies and Wall Street dominating public policy, at this moment, we are not going to have a national Medicare for All program. So I look to the states to play a leadership role. Ultimately, of course, what we need to do is pass that legislation in Washington, which is why we need to have progressives being elected to the House and the Senate and the White House.
Senator Bernie Sanders, we appreciate your time so much. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Take care.